Welcome to the Gatecast and our journey to the Pegasus Galaxy and the city of the ancients, Atlantis.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Gatecast episode 310 and the last episode of Stargate Atlantis, at the time of recording, anyway.
Yes, indeedy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Thomas. How are you, mate?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good to be back here.
I presume it's warm and pleasant Easter weather in Arkansas.
We actually had a cold front come through, so it's a little bit cool, but it's a nice day.
Thank you for not expressing that in a temperature that nobody outside of continental US can actually understand.
Well, if you need me to, I can.
I figured it's about, if you say it's a nice day, but a cold front's come through, it's probably in the mid-60s.
How about the 50s?
Ooh, that is rather chilly. That's about 12 normal degrees.
Mm-hmm. Bit under the weather today?
And yesterday, and the day before that. In fact, on Wednesday, I had been haloing. Do they have Halo in the States?
Little context here. I know Halo video game.
This is a cab app.
I've heard of it, yes.
Right. I've been haloing into work, but on Wednesday, I went at 25 past 8 to get a cab in, and it said 30 minutes, and I thought, I can walk in 20. That was a mistake. By the time I got in, I couldn't say three or four words without having to take a breath. And my boss wandered in at about 9:15 and said, did you be here? And I said, almost certainly not. Although that took three tries. So I dropped into Boots, which I assume you have heard of.
It's, I have not.
I doubt Boots are operating in America.
Would you call it the British equivalent to Walgreens?
Well, I have no idea what Walgreens is.
Corner pharmacy slash a little bit of this and that.
That's Boots. So I gave a very bad review. I was over the far side of the city, and I realized it was 4:15, and there was no way in hell it was going to get back here for 5 on public transport. So I used Halo to get a cab home. The driver elected to make a phone call about 10 minutes into the journey and proceeded to spend most of the rest of the journey loudly blathering away to his friend in another language. Now, he didn't receive the phone call. He chose to dial the phone while he was driving with me sitting there. Apparently suddenly became British because I just sat there and gave him increasingly disproving looks and sort of harumphed at him without actually saying anything and then gave him a really nasty review on the rating. And I'd said to him, I'm in a hurry. And I'd asked him 3 or 4 times how long it would take to get here. So yeah, I was deeply underwhelmed. Apparently, if you rate your driver 3 stars out of 5 or less, they'll email you and ask what the story is.
Come try ya!
Today's snack food of choice is clementines.
Always good. So are little Halos.
You what now?
Halo, the little bitty oranges.
We don't have those.
They are delicious.
We have clementines and satsumas and mandarins. I call them convenience fruit.
They are.
It sounds like it's been patented by a corporation or something. Well, Halo, you know, it's not a name that you think 400 years ago some peasants decided to name their fruit crop Halo.
No.
They are tiny little mandarins.
Is it a brand of mandarin?
Check out the link.
You got to bear in mind that we most... Oh, dear. That looks very American.
They're little mandarins.
Either way, I don't like them anyway.
Yeah.
By the way, if you ever get to Chicago, Illinois, you will have a field day with Ingress because there are portals literally every 5 feet over there.
A person whose name I am not allowed to share got given a 73 meg file which has a dot on it for every portal on the planet.
Oh.
Ingress talk will be viciously cut out, so let's get back to this final episode and Mike do his little pre-countdown-y bit.
I don't know, it's nice still to have a little chat between us before we start the episode proper. We've just done the 2 Stargate movies, which went on for so long, we pretty much had to jump straight in on them. And I left a bit of Ingress in, so Alan will be happy.
So I'm assuming both of you are at least 4 episodes into Daredevil?
No.
Ah.
Well, we're not going to talk about Daredevil anyway, because like I say, not everybody watches it straight away.
That's true.
I'm going through right now and watching all of NCIS, and I think I'm season 9 right now.
I'm about season 7 or 8. I haven't got to the point that they spun off. By all accounts, Los Angeles is crap, but the Vegas one, or the New Orleans one, has very much the feel of... They got arrogant. They saw what CSI did and thought, we can do that.
New Orleans is excellent. Watch that myself on Tuesday evenings.
Yeah, I enjoy New Orleans as well.
Not precisely sure where I am. I'm trying to set up a Plex server on my PC because I'm tempted to just leave it running because I'll be in the land of 4G everywhere, even in the middle of a dense forest.
Lucky.
So if I get the Plex server working properly, I can just stream stuff to my tablet, not bothering to have to carry it, because there's nothing really on this PC that I care about.
Have you voted in our Season 5 poll, Thomas?
Yes, I did about 2 weeks ago.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
I'd need to look at the list, but I'm fairly certain what I voted for.
If it wasn't this episode, it probably would have been the episode with Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson and all them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a funny little episode. It's right up there with episode 100 and 200 with the fun meter.
There's a fun meter?
Of course there's a fun meter.
Hey there, true believers. Check out Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast.
It's a fan-based podcast dedicated to all things Marvel Comics.
Join our host,
the engineer,
the rocket scientist,
and the mad scientist.
And check us out at legendsofshield.com.
Shall we get on with the playing and recording meter? Since we've been on the phone for half an hour, I think that's sufficient blather.
Yes. Who does the most talking amongst us three? Alan.
I'm finding it hard to catch my breath. I'm talking less than I normally do.
Okay then, folks. As Alan says, we're going to be looking at the Season 5 finale, series finale of Stargate Atlantis, Enemy at the Gate. This is ripped from the Region 2 DVD. Runtime is 43 minutes, 54 seconds.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I never noticed that. Huh. Add an extra couple of minutes. Blimey. So much packed into this episode.
It is definitely, as Vala said, jam-packed.
Now we have an image of Vala and jam and very little else.
Okay. We are all currently looking at the black screen with the counter set to zero. If you would like to watch along with us, sync up at the same. Alan's going to do his 3-2-1 countdown. And when he says click, press play, and everything should work out fine. Otherwise, just listen to us as normal.
Normal? We are many things, Mike. Normal is not one of them.
That is probably true.
Thomas, speak a language, one of many.
The standard, please.
Preferably one I speak. Okay. A three, a door, a hen, clicky.
Incoming wormhole.
Night shot. Cheap gate whoosh.
Yeah.
We commented on that in Continuum. Todd?
Uh-oh.
No doubt you're surprised to see me, John Shepherd.
He's alive.
It's alive.
He was rather ill the last time we saw him from infection.
Yeah.
Excruciatingly painful.
You're just saying that to make me feel good.
Yeah.
Beautifully said. Of course he was. Was there really any doubt?
Yeah.
It'd take a nuke to destroy Todd, and even then, Boots would probably survive.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice landing.
Don't be so critical, Shepard.
He walked away from it. Mm-hmm. That's all that's required.
It's a good landing. Good point.
This is a very complicated favour-for-favour relationship these pair have.
Trying to become an overling?
You'll excuse me for being blunt, but why should we care?
Well, Todd's rose in the ranks by killing people above him.
True that.
Hmm?
Okay. He's going to drop it any moment.
And how was that?
You acquired a very rare and powerful piece of technology, one with which I believe you are quite familiar.
Uh-oh.
ZPM, are you kidding me?
That's what he said.
I don't buy it.
Atlantis would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pity they didn't show the same initiative as Todd did when they took out the Azorans.
Mm-hmm. I would have just nicked at least one or two just because.
Yep. Todd's footage was filmed outside the Bridge Studios. Blue screen, of course, afterwards. Uh-huh. They had the SkyTrain going around in the background, so ADR'd.
Well, you can bet there's something he's not telling us. Granted, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's lying about the ZPM. If this is true, it could be very, very bad.
The original story idea for this didn't change much when they found out it was going to be the series finale. Originally going to be intended as the typical Season 5 finale in the 100th episode celebration.
Mm. So the plan was originally to take it where it does land.
Yeah. They did want Vegas to have some consequences, so that had to be woven in as well. And so much packed in, they would have liked it to have been a two-parter, but obviously that wasn't going to happen. Right then. Stargate Atlantis, Season 5, Episode 20, Series Finale, Enemy at the Gate. Gatecast Episode 310. This episode was written by Joseph Malozzi and Paul Mullie, and directed by Andy Makita. Had its world premiere in America, January the 9th, 2009. We got it in the UK, January the 13th. Sweden got it February the 24th, Germany December the 2nd, Spain March the 11th, 2010, and Japan January the 12th, 2011. The only series with an episode of the same name was Frasier.
However, if you add an S to Enemy at the Gate, then you get episodes from Dad's Army, The English Class, Jack and Ori, and Legend of Korra.
And we're back with Todd, once again in interrogation.
What's his condition?
Looks like he was telling the truth. There's no sign of the gene therapy or the virus that it caused. In Wraith terms, he's completely healthy.
So he's back to feeding on humans.
He's exactly the way he was before the treatment.
That's what I was afraid of.
Where is interrogation?
Well, that very strange room is used for so many things.
Used for an isolation room a couple times via call.
Including for Roland.
Wouldn't that also be the room that Jewel State or the doctor there ended up a, what do you call her, a growing meat alien?
Yes, yeah. In the seed.
Almost a respite from daily life.
Indeed.
Chris. Oh, Amanda.
Are you suggesting that if we don't help you, that would be a likely outcome?
This is home away from home. He's probably spent more time in Atlantis than any other place than his hive ship.
Let's start at the beginning. Where did the ZPM come from?
You recall I managed to acquire a few of the devices from the Replicator's city before it was destroyed?
Yes, and they were lost when Colonel Shepard took out the cloning facility.
Not all of them.
Excuse me.
I may have acquired a few more than I let on.
How many more?
Let's not get caught up in unnecessary details.
I've got a feeling that if one of our questions for the series wrap is who's your favorite alien, that Todd is going to probably be number one.
Quite possibly.
All right, then tell me this. Why now? You've had those EPMs for over a year.
The organic nature of a hive creates certain incompatibilities with ancient technology. These had to be overcome before the modules could be put to useful work.
You managed to do it with the cloning facility.
A hive is a much more complicated proposition. Multiple systems need to be adapted. Hyperdrive, weapons, hull regeneration. I put my best scientists to work on this project. And recently, one of them succeeded.
Only he didn't want to turn it over to you. He decided to keep it for himself. And now you want us to help you kick him to the curb.
It would be in your best interest.
There we go. He never tells people everything. That is wise for anybody. Never let anybody know exactly what you know. Just give him enough to satisfy him.
Well, obviously the answer is yes. And obviously you'll assume I'm lying. And obviously it won't matter because I know you can't take the chance either way.
Good point. Yes, he's got a surprise. A rather big surprise coming along the way.
It has yet to reach its full potential. Which means if you attack it now, you may be able to destroy it. But if you hesitate, it will be too late.
Hive.
It's almost as like growing a hive specifically to use the ZPMs. Rather than having one evolve.
Yep.
Even though every time we work with this guy, he manipulates us into doing something that we didn't sign up for.
I still say he's lying.
See, you can't trust a Wraith, can you, Todd? Backstabbing point.
Never.
What about you, Colonel? Care to voice your objections as well?
Of course he's lying.
Duh. How much is he lying?
What?
Okay, raised eyebrows all around there.
You better get going.
How? And do what?
John, is his heart in it? Is he feeling the strain?
Didn't know they had that handy.
What, the Daedalus? Running back and forth between the galaxies, isn't it? It's either going to be there or here.
Or somewhere in the middle.
They do always chop days out of the story.
Colonel.
Looking good.
Was it really necessary to remove my subspace transmitter and force me to wear this ridiculous outfit?
No style at all. You've got to admit, you know, the Wraith have got style. I mean, they're warriors with the black trench coats. They do look smart.
He is looking a little bit more veiny in the face than he usually does. I guess that's left over from the disease he had.
Possibly.
Yeah, I think John's finally reached that point where he doesn't give a monkeys mm-hmm. anymore. Not a place for yeah. a live grenade.
Yes.
That's the great thing about Todd. He comes with a proposition which he knows eventually you're going to have to accept.
Yeah, he always does come in with the, well, you've got to do this or there's no other choice.
Yeah, you know you're being manipulated.
Can we breathe through those vents?
Not sure.
Picked up your end of the bargain. And to be honest, I didn't think you'd live. I know you're playing us. Not going to wait for authorization. There isn't going to be any paperwork. I'm just going to kill you.
Sure.
Very slow zoom in, just to emphasize the point that he's serious.
Not quite a death glare.
But the fact is so completely matter of fact.
Yeah.
You'd think I was born to be electronic by now.
Yeah, but when you have power issues, good old marker.
Caldwell.
We can go in cloaked. Stay in touch through subspace on a secure channel.
If it's what Todd says it is, you can come in guns blazing.
All right. Just be careful.
Yep, Mitch Pileggi returned for this last episode. They did make an effort to get a lot of people from the series into this episode of the story.
Almost in range.
Cage and cloak.
All right, getting readings now. It's a hive, all right.
I'd like to know the sublight speed of those jumpers. They seem to do a lot of traveling in them.
Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, the Daedalus is a bit faster because they've caught up with them before.
Yeah.
Shepard, what's your status?
Kay's getting some interesting readings, so we're going in for a closer look.
Which you would expect if his ZPM is running it.
Is ZPM running the Daedalus?
The Hive, I mean. Yeah, they've got to have a ZPM, really, to run the Asgard shields, don't they? Mm-hmm.
I think that's just the Asgard core, because...
No, that's in the Odyssey.
Have they not replicated that by now?
And it replicates itself.
You had the Odyssey duplicating whatever it wanted, including a cello, so surely it could duplicate itself.
Perhaps there's some code that prevents it from doing that.
Uh-oh.
When you make a simple left turn and you're torn apart by your own inertia, but with a ZPM...
I get the picture. What does that mean for us?
When they're done, my guess is that hull will be all but impenetrable.
Yes, this new Hive ship didn't have any concept drawings. Basically, Paul Mooley described it to the graphics department, and off they went, building something that looked a lot more aggressive and meaty.
They can't see us, right?
Well, of course not. They must just be running a test.
Of course not. We're cloaked. It's always... Hang up. Targeting system's still a little bit off, though. Okay, guys, stop sitting there. Move.
I would say, given the enormity of empty space all around us, non-existent?
They can see us.
That's it.
Yeah, they seem to be missing, though.
Yeah, not 100% accurate yet.
Yeah, they know something's there.
We guess something to do with a ZPM.
Probably.
Daedalus, we got a problem. Our cloak's ineffective.
We're on our way. Take us in maximum sublight. Shields up.
Yes, sir.
That really noises, dude.
Yeah, they said in the commentary, they would never be allowed to get away with silence in space mm-hmm. like Firefly did. Those energy bolts look seriously big. Oh, that's a...
Oh,
it clipped him.
It should have absolutely destroyed it.
Yeah.
I'll work out a bypass in the room and let's take a beat on us, Rodney. We're dead.
You haven't got a minute. Let's face it, you may be spinning, but you're not exactly dodging any fire at the moment. And this was one of the problems. It looked great from external, but inside the jumper, because of inertial dampers, it's smooth. You haven't even got the Star Trek effect of the crew jumping around.
Mm-hmm.
Direct hit.
Damage?
Minimal.
Ready missiles, we're gonna throw everything we have at this guy.
Sir, I'm reading a massive energy buildup.
Ooh, oh, dear.
Pretty.
Ooh, look at that. Nice music cue as well. Oh dear me. I would get out of there if I were you.
Ooh.
Oh my god.
Like full broadside.
Yeah, that was the idea. Naval broadside from a Hive ship.
Ugh.
No, I don't understand that. Either the shields are working or they're not.
Apparently they're down.
Something's happening.
Let's get out of this with our lives intact.
Right now, even inside the data or the photo number.
It's leaving.
Yeah. That's spiky as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we kicked your ass. We're going to f*** off now.
Thank you, Alan. Got to bleep that. You got to be careful these days. iTunes basically said explicit yes or no. There's no grey area.
It's not like the right to be so charitable.
Todd said the ship isn't finished, right?
Well, if that's only partial adaptation, then you're in serious trouble.
Maybe the battle maxed them out.
Well, if that's the case, I'd hate to meet up with them when they do finish it.
We need to get back to Atlantis. That's the prognosis on the
high. Rodney?
Control
systems are your cue. Shot.
My guys are going to
patch, but it could be days, even weeks before we're back online. For the moment, we're not going anywhere.
Sir?
What is it, Marks?
I think we may have something.
Yes, you'd think he'd volunteer to go and help. Kavanaugh! Ben Cotton, making a return.
Kevin, what the hell are you doing here?
Reassignment. More fun and adventure in the Pegasus Galaxy.
Joy of joys. He's such a happy camper.
Just before the Hive jumped into hyperspace, it was weak. Luckily, I happened to be monitoring the sensor.
A strange signal. What could this be?
Wraith code. Obviously.
Oh! I admit, Robbie, this is how other people see you.
He's a pain in the backside.
And once when we encountered another Daedalus. This signal sent from another reality.
I'm sorry, what the hell are you talking about?
Look, some Wraith somewhere in another reality sent a coded signal. Only whatever means they used to access subspace created a rift, allowing the signal to cross into multiple realities, including our own.
So what does it say?
Oh, just give me a second. Move.
This was the consequence of Vegas.
Now,
signal it actually breached realities.
Now, from the experience with the quantum mirror, we know that there are infinite possible realities with infinite possible resolutions. So in some reality, therefore, the Wraith was not stopped there in Vegas.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
You think the Hive picked up the signal?
Why else would they leave like that? It can't be a coincidence. The Wraith know that Earth is a much richer feeding ground than anything in the Pegasus Galaxy. They've been looking for those coordinates for years.
What do coordinates mean? Does it give the orbital distance?
Probably coordinates based on set points like quasars and things like that.
Aside from ourselves, there's the Apollo and the Sun Tzu.
How about the Odyssey?
That's on some secret mission even I'm not supposed to know about.
Well, then two will have to be enough.
Oh, the Chinese 304. We're not going to see it.
So this is happening at the same time as Ark of Truth.
It would be about that, yeah.
Yeah, they said it's on a secret mission right now, so...
That sounds pretty risky. If you're wrong,
I won't be. Anyways, we can't afford to wait till they get all the way to Earth. My guess is that by that point, they'll be fully adapted to the ZPM.
I wouldn't thought this was it, but it could be.
Do it.
You're not really going to publicize that a Hive ship is actually on its way to the Milky Way. And there we go. We see a couple of weeks just gone by. Just like that.
The Daedalus just dropped out of hyperspace.
It's about time.
Colonel Shepard and his team are beaming down. Colonel... Good to finally have you all back.
What did we miss?
Well, the good news is there's no indication of any other Wraith ships heading for the Milky Way.
That's as I figured. That signal was too short and too weak. That ship only detected it because of its obvious improvements to the sensors.
Yeah, and they're not exactly going to share technology anymore, are they? They're still very much factionalized.
Subspace message sent by Colonel Ellis from on board the Apollo.
We've engaged the Hive. Unfortunately, without much success.
Ah, Michael Beach flew in for one day's shooting. Didn't actually work with any of the main cast, just filmed the sequence.
But unfortunately, with my engines down, I won't be able to get to the nearest Stargate for at least a month. As for the enemy, all indications are that they received very little damage and are continuing on their previous course.
He's currently starring in the third season of The 100, which a lot of people rave about.
I watched some of the first season, I wasn't hugely keen.
Yeah, that's a bit worrying if they're taking out, or at least out of commission, 2, 3, or 4.
You know, this would be a good time to get the Ori to fight the Hive.
Anybody, you know, how many Hattacks are there in the Milky Way?
How's the design for the 305, Connie?
I love this walk and talk. Rodney's winning away all these ideas. John's already thought of them and he's acted on them.
John's going to go get ZPMs? What?
Feel useless.
Well... Things didn't go exactly according to plan.
So I heard. You intend to hold me responsible?
All I know is that everything went sideways, the way it always does when you're involved. Are you going to tell me that's a coincidence?
Then you've come to make good on your threat.
Well, it wasn't Todd's fault. He gave you the information. Now you're still alive, so... Probably a no.
Tell us where to get him and maybe it'll improve your situation.
Am I supposed to be enticed... by this offer?
No, I'll probably kill you anyway.
Maybe
life?
A little bit.
Maybe.
I'll kill you anyway.
You know how to talk to me, John Shepard.
Yeah, it's from long experience.
We got him.
Three? In that case? Sweet.
Two.
Oh, two.
He
Yeah, because obviously they've got one.
I would test them thoroughly.
Yes. They've had bad experience from tainted ZPMs in the past.
Yeah.
Have Dr. McKay check them first.
Right. All right, we'll head to the chair room.
Actually, Colonel, you won't be flying the city for us.
What?
This was Brad Wright's idea. He couldn't obviously get Richard Dean Anderson to come for a cameo. Obviously, they're going to actually mention General O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Point was made, wouldn't General O'Neill actually be running the chair? But just for the story's sake. Now they need somebody to actually fly the city, which allows them to bring another character back.
Good luck.
Yeah, you too.
Hey, Shine Mountain.
Have you seen who they're replacing General O'Neill with in the MacGyver remake?
No.
The plan is apparently for Ryan Gosling.
Really?
Apparently.
The movie or the TV series?
I didn't know there was a movie.
All right. Finish recalibration on the chair. Radek, how are things at your end?
ZPMs are online and functioning 100%. We're good to go.
Okay, who's flying this puppy?
That would be me.
Hey, Carson.
Carson?
Rodney?
What, they called you in for this?
Hi.
Well, you must have a higher CIA than I thought.
Excuse me?
Chair interface aptitude. We have a ranking system.
Well, apparently after Colonel Shepard, I'm number two.
Really?
Yeah, so that was invented just to explain why Carson is here. Because he always says he doesn't like sitting in the chair, but he is rated as the second best to do so.
Yeah, but he's always so nervous when in the chair.
Yeah. That's one of the things they actually explained in the novels, how the interface works, where Shepard actually totally immerses himself in the city. Carson is always feels like he's secondary to it.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Beautiful scene.
It is. It's such a unique way to have a vehicle in a science fiction series. We've had big starships in the past, but this is Manhattan taking off.
How quickly do those APMs get used when this thing flies, though?
You know, it's always interesting to see the bottom side of the city, because it looks like the center is actually hollow, but we know the central tower is above it.
Yeah.
So,
nice touch, this is.
Only until General Andre gets back. He's setting up a task force in Washington. My next position is to take command of our new Daedalus-class ship.
The Phoenix?
Actually, we're renaming it, the General Hammond.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Sorry, it was kind of sudden.
Heart attack. I was off-world at the time.
He was a good man.
He really was.
That's a good nod.
Yeah, they want to acknowledge it in the actual episode rather than tag it on to the end. It seemed more respectful to Don S. Davis for his place in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if he had a bit more money, you'd just show him beaming up from the elevator and be done with it.
Yeah.
Colonel Shepard, this is Major Davis, Homeworld Security.
Major. Colonel. What are we looking at? It's the Hive ship. It dropped out of hyperspace and established orbit around the moon just before you arrived.
Wow.
Well,
indeed.
Colin Cunningham, welcome.
I want Walter.
So the conference room I see got changed.
Yes, this looks more like Operations Center in Stargate Command.
Best we can guess is it's completing its ZPM upgrades prior to launching an attack.
Then we gotta make a move first. You got any F-302s?
Yeah, that's really not gonna make any difference if it took out two 304s, is it? It'd just be target practice.
How long to fit them with nukes?
Oh, nukes. Okay, fair enough. That might do the job if you get close enough.
The nuke could have a similar effect as it has on Battlestar Galactica.
Can we fix them? Huge missiles to it, nuclear tipped? That should work.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, with the sensors, they detect them coming and...
And Carter's eyes. So did Elizabeth and Woolsey when dealing with John.
Does that remind anyone else of a starfish?
Not really. And I love this scene as well, but strangely enough, in the commentary, they said some people were complaining about it.
Mr. Woolsey, you wanted to see us?
Yes. Come in, please. I wanted the opportunity to offer you both one last chance to reconsider.
The dog. That picture. Your eyes are drawn to it.
Is Amir's the office there a little bit bigger than it used to be?
If you wish to yes, it always seemed to be bigger.
Now would be the time.
Mr. Woolsey.
We've all grown so accustomed to having you here as part of the team. It's easy to lose sight of the fact that your priorities are not necessarily always the same as ours.
This was the right thing to do. Both these two, Ronan and Taylor, they're not SGC personnel. They deserve the right, do you want to join us, to be asked, not to assume they'll come along, even if you know the answer's going to be yes.
Yeah.
You can't imagine Woolsey without Terrier, can you? Woolsey's just not a cat person.
I don't know, you know, a white Persian, casually stroking it, and evil chuckle. I think he'd pull it off.
I think Roman would be the white Persian. I can see Roman going all cooey over a cat.
That looks like the inside of one of the hangar bays.
Yeah, nice composite. The guy's welding is pulled from an SG-1 episode. It took a lot of work to get this looking as it did.
All right, looks like we're ready to go.
There's been a change of plans. I'm afraid the refit took too long. The hive's still in lunar orbit, but we've detected an inbound wave of darts.
Oh, that's not good.
Any idea where the target is?
We think so. The Wraith message we intercepted contained a warning about Earth's defensive capability, specifically the drone chair. Only in the alternate reality where the message came from, looks like the chair had been moved to Area 51.
This sounds reasonable. Oh, that's not a problem then, you know. They're going to the wrong place.
Evacuate the base. Let them hit it. When they bring the hive down, we'll take them out from Antarctica.
John's thinking, well, not a problem then, is it?
I'm sorry, John. I was going to tell you this, but...
Tell me what?
And then they dropped the
treaty after lengthy international negotiations. They finally moved it just less than a month ago.
Damn you.
To Area 51.
Yeah.
Can they not pick up the chair, put it in a truck and drive?
Mind you, they literally have got minutes, so maybe...
Can't they beam him to Area 51?
And just use drones to take him out?
It makes you wonder if they've actually... They've moved the chair, but not the mechanism that actually controls all the drones. Maybe a bigger job.
All right, we got him. 12 o'clock high range, 8 kilometers, and closing fast.
You are cleared to engage. Good hunting, Colonel.
This whole sequence is pretty darn impressive, but it took 4 graphic houses to actually put it together. Atmosphere, image engine, dot room digital, and the in-house department all worked on it.
Have some SAMs down there on the surface might help.
You would think Area 51 would have pretty decent point defense.
Railguns, SAMs, you name it.
Yeah, it is, after all, a military base.
Shepard, 2 darts have disengaged. They're headed for the deck.
Come on, Riggs, you're with me.
Yes, sir.
Sam's back in the SGC. Oh, come on, that was a little funny.
Nice. It is superb CGI. It's easy to pull off alien spaceships in space, you know, because you expect it to look a little bit strange, but when you're actually working in atmosphere...
Oh, dear.
Yeah. His wingman gets totally blown to bits. John just gets winged, because he's the star. Now, do you think these are... Well, drones. Of course they're drone-flown.
The darts are coming in too fast.
It's a kamikaze.
So much for Area 51.
Weren't you ejecting, John?
He can save it. He can save it.
Damn, he's crashed landed once before.
Yeah, in snow.
This is very top one, isn't it? A flat spin.
Well, that's not up there.
Hey guys, this is the finale. You're allowed to kill off the star.
Yeah, looks great, but seriously. 6 feet off the ground.
That's the equivalent of stopping the bomb at 1.
There must be a couple of 1,000 personnel dead.
It's a nice try, John. There was just too many of them. Chair's been destroyed.
Maybe more. All the technology that was housed there.
And why isn't Area 51 like underground, like in the movie Independence Day?
You would imagine it'd been dug deep into the desert. But ballistic darts moving at, I don't know, Mach 2, Mach 3. There's probably many volatile chemicals as well.
Yeah.
You don't have enough fuel. You'll never make it to the Hive.
He got what he wanted. He's going to come to us.
He's right. The Hive ship has changed course. They're on their way.
John does have the habit of these Hail Mary ideas.
That way, he won't detect me till it's too late.
Even if that does work, given what we know about this ship, one nuke is not going to be enough.
No, not from the outside. I'll wait for him to enter orbit.
I'll fire up my systems, shoot my way through the dart bay door, and fly the damn bomb right down his throat. Then... I'll detonate from the inside.
Yes, of course, the dart bay door is going to be much less armoured than the rest of the ship, so 302 weapons will get through, no problem at all.
You know, John has a remarkable suicidal streak.
But he never dies.
Yeah, he's awful at committing suicide.
He's practiced so often.
Yeah, so not that much damage done to his fighter, if it can achieve orbit.
What happened?
We dropped out of hyperspace.
Don't tell me we're there already.
We're not even close. We're on the edge of the Milky Way.
So then why did we drop out?
Well, obviously we're not sure.
Doctor.
Look, the hyperdrive hasn't been operated at full power in over 10,000 years. It's not surprising there are a few glitches.
But you can fix it.
I'll figure out what's wrong first, don't I?
Zelenka, in the meantime, recalibrate our gate position so we can dial Earth.
Yes, right away.
Yeah, that was always the drawback. It's going to take 18 days, maybe even 3 weeks, for the city to get to the Milky Way. They were never going to make it in time, which means they come up with this absolutely ridiculous idea to actually get the city to Earth.
That looks rather threatening.
Yeah, that's menacing.
Yeah. All right. None of this smooth outer hull. Muscles he's got. Now, has anybody else noticed it yet? No.
For another 20 minutes. Okay, now if he fires up too early, close
they'll
the
detect
gap.
His presence and send out darts to intercept.
Yeah.
Or just shoot him.
Walter!
What is it, Walter?
We've been trying to dial up the Alpha site to send through those IOA dignitaries.
Little IOA. Courageous to the end.
Doing a runner, are they? Nicely said, Major.
I've already tried a couple of alternates, but for some reason...
What do you mean, for some reason? This is what the Wraith do. We've seen it a number of times.
They've got an open wormhole.
They don't like... Yeah, if a planet's got a Stargate, they dial the damn thing. Which then begs the question, who have Atlantis dialed? They put the Earth coordinates in.
They probably dialed the Hive.
Yes.
Stargate Command, this is Atlantis. Do you read?
Comm system is operating, sir. They're just not responding.
Okay, this is weird. I'm picking up an energy signature feeding back through the wormhole. It's Wraith.
The Wraith are at Stargate Command.
All the wrong conclusions.
You don't think that's... Standard Wraith procedure. Keep your victims from dialing out. What are you talking about? There's a gate on the Hive.
What? Now, this is the beauty of it. It's logical within the show, so they're not pulling in a rabbit out of the air. But this also allows a lot of characters to get to Earth very quickly.
Usually it's the default gate, unless it happens to be a Milky Way model, and the other one's from Pegasus.
Ah, there we go. There's a little twist to make it work.
...work around to prevent the Pegasus gate from always taking precedent. You're telling me that wormhole leads directly onto the Hive.
Just in case there are any fans out there that actually drew that same conclusion.
Hey, do you nukes then?
Yeah, that's a good thing.
That could enhance the nuke.
A Mark 9? We can spare
Mark
10.
Come on. Our nukes go up to 11.
Oh, grenades.
Okay, lads.
That cleared the way?
There's one way to find out.
That's a spirit, Ronan. You could have sent through a map or anything with a camera on it.
Camera on a stick.
Translation, we couldn't afford to show you damaged guards lying on the ground, so we're just going to tell you.
You should have sent more Marines with them.
You may have the impression that they had a very fixed budget for this episode, which was counting down as they filmed it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would have left the gate open simply because that means the Hive could not dial out.
That's a good point.
This is something that Rodney's been working on for quite some time.
No, he hasn't.
Of an ancient technology which was abandoned because of instability and enormous power requirements.
And the plot didn't require it.
Wormhole drive. It's nearly instantaneous travel across enormous distances. It's not unlike gate travel itself. If it works, it could have us on Earth in a matter of seconds. Now, the calculations are incredibly complex. If we're off even by a fraction, it could be very bad.
Here we go, the wormhole drive. This was originally intended to be on Stargate Universe, but by the time they incorporated it into Atlantis to kind of solve this problem, they'd already decided that it wasn't going to be used for Stargate Universe.
The ninth chevron thing?
There's only two ways to move a ship in FTL, in science fiction. That's hyperspace or literally jump from point to point.
Takes out the whole ship, one shot.
I like the sound of that.
The only problem is once I start the overload, I have no way of knowing whether we can get off the ship in time.
And you're just telling us this now?
I don't have much of a chance to work out the details. I'm thinking on my feet here.
What difference does it make? If we have a chance to destroy the ship, we're going to take it no matter what, right?
I wasn't going to let you volunteer.
Ronan fatalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to save the entire planet, 7 billion people, you know. If you're going to sacrifice yourself for anything, that's a good one.
Heroic.
Nope. That's nice. Dead is still
now,
dead.
If the ship blows up in orbit, that's going to be a bright light in the sky. Anybody on Earth is going to see that.
Yeah, there really is no getting around the fact that there are aliens out there. That slow zoom in on the 302, that was the very final thing shot. Also, John's footage in the cockpit. Again, he was there on set by himself for final wrapping up of the series.
Yeah, you know, from the Star Wars perspective, Ronan's evil. And the Wraith are good.
Oh, hello. Yeah, the Wraith really should have some internal sensors.
I think so! Go, go, go! This way!
One of them ducked. I like it.
Come on, people.
Go on, get him, get him. He took his time feeding on Rodney.
Oh!
Ooh!
Ooh.
That's gotta hurt.
Okay, I'll accept that the bay doors are going to be much lighter because they've got to physically move. But I still would have thought they would have held up to a simple air-to-air missile.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks bad.
Never.
This is the season finale. You're allowed to kill off people in the finale.
They hit his lungs, bleeding out.
Ronan!
This girl. Yes.
No, we are not leaving without you.
Nobody could carry him. No offence to Ronan, but he's a big bloke.
Ronan! Ronan!
He's gone to a better place.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Taylor's pissed off now. That's more like a Tilk level of pissed off.
Yes.
Come on, we gotta get out of here now. Let's go, let's go. Come on, let's go.
Oh, dear.
I think he has more animation and empathy dead than he ever is alive.
See, this was a great idea by John, and it would have worked. Unfortunately now, he's quite prepared to kill himself, but he's not going to kill all his friends.
I'm arming the nuke.
What did he say, nuke?
John.
Just do me a favor, when Atlantis shows up, tell him I said goodbye.
Shepard, this is McKay.
Look, stop what you're doing now.
McKay. Yes, it's me. I've got Lauren, I got Taylor, we're on board the Hive.
What? Well, how?
Look, it's a long story, just...
Not that long, it only took about 5 minutes. Come on.
Don't!
This Hive is about to attack Earth, Rodney. I don't have much of a choice.
Look, just wait. We'll come to you. I'm sure I can rig up some kind of a remote detonator.
Well, what's that gonna do for us? We can't get off this ship, Rodney.
That's where you're wrong. This way.
Yes, this Hive isn't that small, is it, Rodney? Come on, it's bloody huge! And do they have... I know we've seen a transporter yet from one level to another, but do they have the full interest in beaming? And it's good they give Jennifer at least another scene in the show.
Oh, and if it doesn't?
We're dead.
Yeah, it'll go boom. You won't feel a thing.
Yeah, sort of like when the Hives with the Atero device. Boom.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, what else can you say, really? Fair enough. Yeah, so you don't get a say in the matter.
Come on, surely John wants to know how the hell they got here. Granted, they probably haven't got the time for an in-depth explanation, but surely he wants to know.
I expected to see on this ship. Same here. Give me a minute.
Does
sad news.
The 302, does it hover? Because how the hell did he land there?
They have wheels.
No, but obviously it needs a certain length. The overhead shot kind of showing it on a little ledge.
Maybe.
Oh, there we go. We'll ignore the question of him.
Yeah.
Bringing people back from the dead.
Maybe he was just, like, you know, out.
But he's not human, he's a Tedon.
Okay. As if that really makes that much of a difference.
If I guess position where I'm able to ask Martin Garrow a question, is that the one you want me to ask him?
Hive has completed surface scan.
We'll target military installations first, then the power grid, send the population into a panic. Then they'll launch the darts.
How many humans are on my ship?
Just me. Come on, Ronan, just me.
Ooh. He brought him back from the dead, but he didn't actually...
Right behind you.
How you doing, Chewie?
Chewie!
Been calling him Chewie a long time.
Of course, grab Ronan's gun. He would kill you if you didn't.
Yeah, he would literally go back for that if the nuke was on 5 second countdown.
Shepard, what's your status?
We got Ronan. We're headed to the gate.
How much time?
5 minutes to get there. 5 minutes to recalibrate the DHD for local coordinates. 10 minutes.
That might be too long.
I'm sorry, the Hive is powering weapons. We're out of time.
Seriously out of time, if you can tell that.
Understood.
Blow it. Come on, John, blow it.
Just get to a dart and beam everybody up and zoom out. There you go.
We're almost there. I mean, look, did I say 5 minutes to recalibrate DHD? I meant 2 minutes.
Rodney.
We're almost there. We can't die this close to an escape. It's not right. It doesn't happen this way.
Here's the Nintendo DS. Don't forget to save my Mario Kart.
Oh, that may be like a PSP.
No, that's a DS. It's very clearly a DS.
Whoa!
Another ship. They also had an idea of having the Jafar come along and have Christopher.
This is gonna hurt.
That's really close.
That's gonna hurt.
That is really close.
Understood.
come on, Carson. Do your worst.
Don't look constipated, Carson. He does, doesn't he? Looks like he's trying to squeeze out a particularly difficult bowel movement.
Now, why are the drones impacting on the hive ship and not doing the usual zooming around? Normally, they kind of follow each other in a stream, maximum impact in the minimum area.
There's a lot of area.
Yeah, but if it hit the same point time and time again.
And their shields should be fully powered, so they should be able to take a lot of this.
Shields are down 70%.
Yeah, again, either the shields work or they don't. If this much energy is being absorbed by the shield and being passed through to the city, there's almost no point in having them.
We got company!
Yeah, there's also a lot of Wraith on this ship compared to the normal hive.
Well, they're all out of hibernation.
One of those has got to come through, Seal. Otherwise, we wouldn't be seeing it from this angle.
Some enemy weapons fire has pushed us into a lower orbit. We're skimming the atmosphere.
Draining the shield, sir.
Dr. Beckett, can you adjust our course?
I don't have enough power. I can keep firing or pull us up. Which is it going to be?
Keep firing, Dr. Beckett.
This was Brad Wright's idea. He wanted more tension, more jeopardy. So force Atlantis into the atmosphere. Through the impact of energy-based weapons on an energy shield. I'm not sure if that's exactly how it works in this make-believe science fiction series.
That hive packs a punch.
Mm-hmm.
See how huge the hive is versus the city. That's incredible.
Yep. That was Robert E. Cooper's vision. They said it's difficult to have two huge ships, you know, duking it out and get a real scale of it. But having the Earth behind it gives you that. Okay, now you can escape. Has this nuke got a timer on it? Otherwise, somebody's going to have to sacrifice themselves.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Ronnie said he'd rig up a remote detonator.
That's what I mean.
How much? 10-second countdown? Both enough time to disengage the gate.
Yeah, that might be a bit of an issue.
Okay, now why has it stopped firing? That's the question.
Yeah. Was there any doubt? Mm-hmm. Come on.
They did it. The hive has been destroyed.
Atlantis, this is Stargate Command. Well done.
Thanks for the kind words, Colonel, but I wouldn't pop the champagne just yet. We've lost orbit and Dr. Beckett is unable to compensate. We're going in.
Do you have enough shield to survive re-entry?
The plan was always to have Atlantis land on Earth. Now they've just made... to, like, throws his hand up. Oh, I can't do anything.
And now anybody on...
They've added a...
People should be able to see the city coming in like a meteor, so that's not going to be a secret either.
Really? You don't get communications during re-entry. Come on. Everyone knows
that. Subspace communications, maybe.
Yeah, if you're using standard radio, no, but...
We've been monitoring radio chatter. Several commercial vessels in the North Pacific have reported a giant fireball streaking across the sky.
See? People see this.
It's just a meteorite. It happens.
It's not a meteorite. That's a meteor.
Atlantis, this is Stargate Command. Please respond.
That's a meteor left. We've never seen that table so occupied.
And they're still coming in hot.
It looks more controlled than the last time they landed the city.
Mm-hmm.
He's forcing a better pilot. They had a lot of problems deciding where they were going to land the city. They wanted a landmark.
Mm-hmm.
Obvious, they were landing near the coast. Surprisingly enough, there aren't that many landmarks you can see from the open ocean.
Yeah, clear out all of the commercial traffic in the bay.
Well, that was it. If they landed in the bay, that wouldn't work. It had to be open water so they could quarantine it. Someone says, why not, you know, the Sydney Opera House, the Statue of Liberty, but all those you have to be in the bay, so people could literally see the city.
Hmm.
Well, didn't they do that here anyway? They landed in the bay, you see everything in the background.
They landed outside the bay.
Oh, okay.
From the angle they chose, they actually figured it out. They were looking east towards the bridge.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure you get home.
This is my home.
And this is a nice touch.
Am I interrupting?
Isn't that the kick-ass girl?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Amelia.
No, I was just leaving.
Ronan finally decided he likes a tough woman, and she's a tough woman.
And Jennifer Staken.
She's not going to break, to put it bluntly.
Heard you died and came back to life.
Pretty much. There's a few things I still need to do.
Oh, the possibilities.
Yep, for taking a walk?
I don't see why not.
Good. Something you should see.
And what to do with Todd?
So all is well. Your homeworld was saved. You and your friend survived, and all thanks to my zero-point module.
That's right.
You could almost say, I've helped you survive again.
Is there going to be a next time?
And again, his pitch of his voice changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Thank you.
You have room for two more?
Yes, quite a lot, actually, considering the personnel of Atlantis.
Welcome to Earth.
We're going to have little Ronan babies.
No one can see us, right?
We managed to activate the cloak before we came in too close. This entire area is under naval quarantine.
Oh, so this is where everyone went, huh?
Yeah, John. They didn't tell you.
You okay?
I'm alive.
That's a win.
And I've got you. What else would I need?
And bonus points for McKay for somehow coming in ahead of the game.
Nice view.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It may be a nice view, but as a viewer, so unsatisfying.
And I hated this when I first watched it. I went, is this the end? You've got to be kidding me.
No, nothing is resolved.
And I still don't think it's a great finale.
No.
Yep, I fully understand why they got this finale.
One wonders, is this a nod to Star Trek, given where Starbase Command is?
Definitely has to be.
No, they actually said that in the commentary.
Really?
Really.
San Francisco and the Golden Gate was the only landmark they could actually use and have the city outside of a bay. In the CGI sequence, made a point of removing the sailboats that were originally there. That was taken care of by Woolsey saying there was a naval quarantine in the area. No doubt fabricated oil spill or chemical spill or something.
My only question being, how are you going to keep it permanently quarantined? Just have Navy ships circling it all the time? Somebody's going to know something's there.
Imagine eventually they could probably either tow the city further out into the open ocean or launch the city, get it off the earth, which is covered in the books.
I need to read those.
Yes, you should. They are rather excellent. The idea, I'll just give you a very, very non-spoily synopsis, is that because Atlantis landed in American territorial waters, the Americans claimed it. It's ours. The IOA, not very happy about it. That kind of sets the ball in motion because everybody really wants to keep Atlantis and tear it apart for, you know, technology, whereas most of the personnel want to take it back to Pegasus where it belongs.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were hoping to, I believe, have a few movies like SG-1 did to finish wrapping everything up, but that, well, fell through.
Yep, there was supposed to be an Atlantis movie. Unfortunately, as we discussed on the two SG-1 movies, the budget and the return was diminishing each time, and eventually MGM, they simply couldn't risk the investment and lose money.
Sad, because it definitely would have been nice to have.
Okay then, folks, that was the season series finale of Stargate Atlantis, Enemy at the Gate. We've got a little bit of trivia. Pull me notes out. This episode was directed by Andy Makita. 29 episodes of SG-1, 22 of Atlantis, and 12 of Universe. Also directed Cedar Cove, Bitten, Lost Girl, The Dark Corner, and Motive. Written by Joseph Melosi and Paul Mully. Together they wrote 39 episodes of SG-1, 15 of Atlantis, and 12 of Universe. Also worked on Transporter the series, Delete, Dark Matter, Student Bodies, and Big Wolf on Campus. This episode won Leo Awards for Best Overall Sound in a Dramatic Series and Best Sound Editing in a Dramatic Series, and was nominated for a Gemini Best Visual Effects. And I would love to know what beat it.
Yeah, because there's a lot of good effects in this episode.
There is indeed.
Jack?
Daniel?
Are you you?
Yeah, you.
What?
I like the yellow ones.
Never mind.
We got a little bit of feedback this week. Matt McLeod over on our Google Plus page. About the episode Vegas. Didn't like this one, not going to give many details. Seemed very out of place, and thrown in to meet the last episode. Would have preferred a two-part finale. And I replied that it's certainly a love or hate episode. There's no doubt about it, Vegas. Either like it or you don't. On Twitter, Ian. In Vegas, Rodney plays the conversation with John so much like Agent Smith, I almost expected him to slip a Mr. Anderson in. Yeah, that would have been good, wouldn't it? Leia, love Stargate Atlantis Vegas. David Hewlett did a great job playing a more colder, ruthless, almost psychopathic McKay. I replied that he had an edge to the slightly sarcastic tone he normally uses with some people. She replied that it was nice to see this little glimpse of McKay and his dark side, although it was technically an alternate reality, so not quite McKay. And I said, what's a reality between friends? As long as there's no goatee, there's no problems. And Lay finished, Q, one evil man, who has no moral code about getting what he wants. There's certainly a McKay out there like that, that's for sure. His name's probably David Hewlett. Thanks, everyone. We would love to hear your thoughts on our show, and Stargate, of course. Although we're now finished with Atlantis, we've only got the wrap-up show to do. If you want to get in touch with us, then you can do so via the contact form on our website, which you will find at gatecast.co.uk, or you can email us using gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook and Google+, and are carried on iTunes and Stitcher Internet Radio. You'll find all those links on our website, and you'll also find the independent RSS feed. That feed carries every episode we've released so far, and you can manually add that to a podcatcher. The reason we have the two feeds, iTunes prefers you limit the size of their feed, so we've stuck that to 25 of the last episodes, but obviously we're well over 300 now, so if you want to get them all easily, the independent RSS feed is the way to go. You'll find it under Mission Report. Okay then, let's wrap the show up.
Come try ya!
Okay then folks, that was the end of our Stargate Atlantis coverage. We do have a wrap-up show, which will be... I'm not sure if we're going to do that next week. What do you think, Alan? Should we do that next week or do the Stargate movies?
I don't think we should do it next week due to the fact that at this point next week I will be on a plane to Copenhagen.
Yes, I'm not talking about the recording. I'm talking about the broadcast.
You may do the
movies. I think the wrap-up makes sense before the movies.
Fair enough, then. Next week we'll be doing the wrap-up show. And as you may guess from Alan's little... mention, we have yet to record that. Either way, thank you very much, Thomas, for joining us and being a guest for Stargate Atlantis.
Always. Now, I do have one quick question for you. Are you going to do another series wrap-up like you did with the last one with some short little question-answer sessions?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are.
Very good.
Would you like to join us for that?
I'd be happy to.
Yes, that will be going out Christmas.
Okay.
So, plenty of time.
So, you're going to wait till we're, I'd say, halfway through, or if not through season one or two of Universe?
Consider that as a bonus episode.
You going to do the same thing for Universe?
It's just on general principle.
Yeah.
Yes, we should do.
Now, you've got my picks down for, I believe, season one episodes, correct?
Yes, Darkness Part 1, Light Part 2, Justice, Human, and Season 2. I've got you down for Aftermath, Awakening, Resurgence, Deliverance, and
the finale. Awesome.
So we're all set for that. Okay then, folks, that was Stargate Atlantis, Enemy at the Gates. Feedback, comments, we'd love to hear from you. I'll leave the contact information right here. Next week, we're going to be doing the Season 5 wrap-up show with Brad. I hope you join us for that. Once again, thank you, Brad. You want to give any contact information?
You mean Thomas?
I didn't want to say
yes,
anything.
Yes, Thomas. Well, feel free.
No, you screw up so rarely.
On Twitter, you can hit me up there. I'm on the Gatecast feed.
Facebook or Google+ pages or anything. A lot of people don't really bother with social media, just go on it for specific purposes.
I have it, but I don't do much on there usually.
Okay then, folks, thank you very much for joining us.
I've been Adam.
I've been Mike.
And Thomas.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
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 You've been listening to The Gatecast, hosted by Alan and Mike. Join us at gatecast.co.uk. Stargate forever.